"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Well, the moment we've been waiting for. Gavin Newsom has issued a statement on racist comments by Los Angeles leaders. Do you want to hear it?
He agrees with them?
It's a simple thumbs up emoji.
Come on. Right on.
Words matter. Racist language can do real harm. I'm encouraged that those involved have apologized and begun to take responsibility for their actions.
What's the point?
These comments have no place in our state or in our politics. We must all model better behavior to live the values that so many of us fight every day to protect.
Wow.
By the way, he didn't ask that they resign.
No.
He said they've apologized and they should move on.
Oh, that's all it takes? So you can
all the other big leaders are saying they should quit. He has backed off of that.
I guess that they're his buddies.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe someone reached out to him and said, buddies. Look, they apologize. Can you put out a statement saying that they've taken responsibility?
I can't take it. Public apologies by racists like this crowd are not to be believed. I don't understand why people think that if you mouth an apology, it's like, oh. First of all, they weren't having a heated argument, right? You apologize when you're in a situation and your emotions are hot and you blurt something out that's mean, and then you calm down and you say, look, I didn't mean that. I just got too angry. These people were in a relaxed setting among friends, talking as casually as you can speak. These are their real feelings, and this is how they conduct policy. Remember, they were there to try to have some influence on the redistricting. They wanted to screw over the black city council people. That's what they wanted to do, and they wanted to expand the power of the Hispanic city council people. That was the purpose of the discussion. How can we screw the black districts and expand the Hispanic districts? So if that's your purpose, then of course you're going to have negative feelings against politicians and people from another race. You're trying to take their power away. You're trying to take their representation away. So there's no apology that works here. Nobody should believe any of it. It's not just somebody lost their temper for a few minutes. This is the way they are all day, every day.
I mean, so the people involved are Nuri Martinez, who was the council president, but she resigned that post today, along with our good old pal Gil Cedillo and Kevin DeLeon, who apparently still doesn't know the Pledge of Allegiance. Kevin DeLeon ran for mayor and did horrendously poorly.
You think they ask him to do it tomorrow?
At the meeting? They should. Has he learned it by then? The fourth person is the L.A. County Federation of Labor President Ron Herrera. And I just looked them up. They are huge. It's the second largest in the country, representing over 300 unions and over 800,000 workers. And today, the Hollywood Teamsters has called for Herrera to resign because people are saying, even though his remarks aren't as bad as the others, he should have chastised them for their racist slurs.
If you control hundreds of thousands of voters, You're the most powerful person in LA politics. If you finance the campaigns of all these people on the city council and the mayor, you're the most powerful person. This is the guy who's the king. This is the guy that people, everyone should be aware of. Because he's calling the shots for these petty little tyrants.
Yeah, and I mistakenly thought this was public employee unions, but I'm looking at them. No, it's a laborers union, AFL-CIO, yeah. Western Region. Yeah.
So and
building and construction trades.
That's the problem. The people in the unions vote for whoever their leaders tell them to, and the leaders say, you'll get more money from these people. You'll get more benefits from these people. We'll make more money managing the union, the stuff we skim off the top. So that's who you vote for. And then all the good union acolytes say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. They're not interested in what happens to the city. They're not interested in anybody else's life. They don't care. They don't care about all the crime and all the homeless people. What they want is their cut of the city budget. And that's true of the county budget and the state budget. It's all run by these unions. And there is not, they're all puppets. All these people are puppets of the unions. And what they should have never allowed is for government workers to be unionized. Jerry Brown signed that law back in 1978. And that's what really sent California on the road to ruin. Because it gave them the chance to run from the inside, run the government.
So the topic, as John mentioned, was redistricting. They were not happy with, this is a year ago. This conversation was recorded a year ago at the offices of the LA County Federation of Labor that I just mentioned. And we think somebody stuck a phone in there or something, because you can tell from the audio, they're not exactly, at first I thought they might be on Zoom, but they're not on Zoom. They're gathered together in some room talking about the redistricting process, which they didn't think was going particularly well for them. And whoever they want to see get elected. That's kind of the theme of this. You know, at one point, Cedillo, they're talking about Cedillo's district being redrawn. And he says, don't put me in like Eagle Rock or Highland Park, or I don't need those areas. I have poor people. So he wants
right.
to stick with the poor people.
Because they're easily manipulated. They don't
vote. And they don't vote.
They don't vote. A lot of them are illegal, so they can't vote. And the ones who are legal can be manipulated. And
oh, he said about Lincoln Heights, the activists are there 24/7 and they don't want us. I know he's come up against the bicycle activists, and well, he's a loser anyway. He lost in June.
I know.
He is already out of office.
Yeah, well, he is a loser. You got
last October though, he was still running, so
he got intimidated by bicycle activists. Seriously.
Yeah.
The guys in their spandex pants, their yellow spandex pants, intimidated poor Gill.
Well, I think his opponent, too, this Eunice Hernandez, also believes in free rent. She was really going for the whole
good.
Thing. She wants to take over buildings good. And all that stuff.
Good.
And
good. Communist. You're going to see we're going to have more communist members, Communist Party members on the LA City Council than we've ever had. This is going to be a great run the next few years.
Yeah. So in case you don't know, tomorrow there's a scheduled LA City Council meeting. There'll be 1 million members of the media there to cover this. She's no longer council president. I guess the first order of business would be get somebody else to. Some are saying Bonin should get it because he's a victim.
And if you haven't heard, she ran after Bonin's little son, who was 2 or 3 years old at the time, and called him a little monkey in Spanish, which is considered a slur.
All right, let's start with that. We have clips 2 and clips 3. They're kind of short, but. And you have to listen closely.
Listen for the word Chuguito at the very beginning.
Because this, again, is a little like they put a phone down on the floor or something. Here we go.
Whatever the kid's name is, I'm like, it's like the oddest thing. It's like black and brown on this floor. And then there's this white guy with this little black kid who's misbehaved. Este niño has no, they're not doing. The kid is bouncing off the effing walls on the floor, practically tipping it over. There's nothing you can do to control him. Parece Chuguito. And I'm just like, oh my God.
She calls him a Chuguito at the end. Now, again, the little kid is under 3 years old. So
this
I don't
is Bonin and his partner adopted a little black child. Yes.
Right. So I don't know how a little.
Who apparently was acting rambunctiously on a float on a parade route.
Yeah. I don't know how a toddler tips over the float, and I don't know why she would get. And she said at the beginning it was black and brown people, and then there's this one white guy, meaning Bonin.
And his, Chiquito, by the way, means little monkey, just in case you didn't get that part, which is why this is really gone.
This is why this is not a temper tantrum. This is not an unusual moment, right, that you apologize for. This is her worldview. This is the prism of how she looks through the world. She looks at people and counts, bean counts, how many people are black, how many are brown, how many are white, how many are this or that. Do we have the proper proportion? Who's being screwed over here? Who has unfair advantage? Even standing on a float, she's offended that Bonin is there, because not because he's white. I mean, I'd be offended standing next to Bonin for 1,000 reasons, but not his skin color or the skin color of his child.
She's worked up because he's the white man that adopted the black child to look like, oh, holier than thou, and I'm very worthy because I took care of a needy child of a different race, and therefore I did something very important.
Yeah.
And
she doesn't
like that.
They think he's a phony. They think the only reason that Bonin adopted his son was because the son was black. That's what they're saying.
Because they say he was like an accessory, like a handbag.
Like a Louis Vuitton handbag is what De Leon says.
All right, here is the next part of Nuri Martinez where she really goes off about the kid acting up at the parade.
They're raising him like a little white kid, which I was like, this kid needs a beat down. Like, let me take him around the corner and then I'll bring him back.
Yeah.
¿Se me entiendes? Ven para acá.
It's a pinch.
Something. Yeah.
But yes, he's the fourth.
As you can see, they go back and forth.
Yeah. There's
nobody. Right,
they go back and forth in Spanish sometimes, back to English.
So she's talking about taking Bonin's kid around the quarter and giving him a beatdown and bringing him back. A beatdown for a little 2 or 3 year old. And then she says he's acting like a white kid just white kids are rambunctious and jump around. No child with a different skin color acts like that. It's just white children, I guess.
Because white children are privileged, and therefore they take advantage of the situation and act out.
Or is it the lack of melanin in the skin that causes you to jump up and down?
They're spoiled. They're given all of life's riches upon birth.
Well, that's what they said, is that he's raising him like a white kid.
All right. That's what they said, yes. When we come back, we'll play more of this audio. They go after a fellow city council member by the name of Nithya Raman. But when we come back, the first thing we're going to play is they attacked members of the Latino race, Oaxacans in Koreatown, kind of a weird diversion. Mm-hmm. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. The theme is kind of, they are who we thought they were. These are three members of the Los Angeles City Council. They are Latino. They're discussing redistricting with the president of the LA County Federation of Labor, a very important 800,000 member group, which holds a lot of power. Is that the County Federation of Labor offices? We don't know yet how this conversation was recorded or by whom, but it was posted on Reddit and then deleted. But before that happened, it was picked up by media outlets, including the El Segundo Times, which went with a story big time yesterday to reveal this, because these three, along with the Federation president, are, you know, they're kind of bitter. The LA City Council, because if you see life as race and quotas, they're bitter. LA City Council has 15 seats. There are 4 held by Latinos. The city population of Latinos is 52%. So you can see there's a little bitterness in that they have to do more to get more representation and effectively more power, because a lot of this, I mean, there are disproportionately, there are more black seats than there is a population of black people. You said 6% roughly? Of the LA population?
7%. Wait.
7%?
Yeah. 7 point something. Yeah. 7% of blacks. And they think that the blacks are not only overrepresented on the council, but just they're too loud. They're too prevalent. It seems like these Hispanic councilmen are tired of having to deal with those issues and reacting to their complaints.
But I
have a feeling they weren't exactly on board with all the George Floyd protests, put it that way.
Right. They think that the power of the African-Americans in the city of L.A. is out of proportion to their actual percentage of the population.
Yes.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's kind of what's going on here, because they're trying to figure out how to win elections and what to do. And a lot of times they're upset with activist groups and community groups. This next clip, though, took a bit of a turn. And Nuri Martinez leads the charge, probably using the F word. Well, we don't have the full recording, but I've seen excerpts where she just says it like every fifth word. She's picking on Oaxacans in Koreatown. Now, Oaxaca is a state in Mexico. And apparently, according to Nuria Martinez and her colleagues here, well, they're ugly. Let's listen.
They're a mix of local Indian groups and the Spanish conquerors.
Right.
So, but she finds their skin color too dark. So listen to this.
Yeah, that's called Cape Town.
Yeah, I see a lot of little short, dark people.
Yeah, puro Oaxacan. Puro Oaxacan Koreans. Not even like Kevin, little ones.
I don't know where these people are from. I was like, I don't know what village they came out of, got here, but they're wearing shoes.
I get what we have to do, right? Just massage to create districts that benefit you all.
Yep.
Right?
This is
and
a railroad.
Yep. But we got to figure out Mark C, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that benefits you three.
If the
Mark Ridley Thomas's seat. They got to figure out who to get in there.
Meyer might not be suspended. I don't know what's going to happen. I think he should be, but anyhow, if he goes away.
You mean resign, not suspended?
No,
this is a year
ago. Right. There is a difference.
If
he resigns, hold on. If he resigns and the African Americans look at this as a hostile takeover because he's gone,
Stop there for a second. Okay. So she's worried. Ridley Thomas resigns. And if they don't put someone else who's black in the district, then the black voters there are going to look at it as a hostile takeover. And this is going to be trouble. Okay. This is how they govern the city.
Yeah. Well, then continue because Kevin DeLeon goes in another direction here.
We all have to figure that out because politically they're going to come after.
Yeah. But can I say something right now?
And here it is.
What I call the Wizard of Oz effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by the Wizard of Oz effect is when you're at the side of the curtain, it's like this big voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds big. And it sounds like there's thousands of them. And then when you actually pull the curtain, is that you see the little Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You know what?
I've never watched the movie.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's real simple. You got 100 people, right? 52 of them are Mexicano. I feel pretty good about it. Yeah. I feel pretty good about my chances of beating your
25 are for black. And the 25 blacks are shouting. And the but they shout like they're 250.
Yeah.
When there's 100 of us, it sounds like 10 of us.
So there you go. So you heard Kevin DeLeon lay it out there that he believes some of the black activists and black groups get too much power and voice.
Right. They're too loud. So
he made the Oz comparison that they're loud, like, I am the mighty Oz. But you pull back the curtain, there's not that many voters back there.
Right. So they have an outsized influence in what's going on.
Right. Oh, and the El Segundo Times columnists are all worked up because now you're pitting two underrepresented racial groups against each other. Look what they're doing to each other.
Well, that's what they're doing. They are pitted against each other. You had the black leaders pitted against the Hispanic leaders. None of them care that these neighborhoods are filled with all kinds of garbage, all kinds of homeless people, that normal people in these neighborhoods are terrified by the crime going on in the gangs. That's not what they discuss. They discuss the power that they're going to have, which is really the money that they're going to take in and the influence that they're going to have. I mean, this doesn't... Everyone's going to focus on all the hateful racist rhetoric, but focus on what they value and how they conduct business. It's about what they control, what they want for themselves, and also their ethnic group. But it's not about making the city livable. They don't care if the city goes to hell because they probably all live in nice homes. They make big salaries. They've got slush funds. They got campaign donors. They go on junkets. They travel well. They're going to have influence. That's why they're fighting over, you know, who's going to have the airport in their district. Who's going to have LAX in their district. And, you know, it should be in a Hispanic person's district. It shouldn't be in a white person's district or a black person's district. That's what they're fighting about. You know, where's USC going to be? It's going to be in a Hispanic district or a black district? Because, you know, they want the cachet with USC. They want the pull. They want the money from all the people who run USC. That's what they're talking about here.
And they don't leave the white people alone. They made several comments about the white power brokers, and you have to talk to them and stuff like that. And some of the other white council members are very powerful. And
well, you know, you look at
everything they do. All these excerpts we got are all just about racial angles.
Well, you look at the population scoreboard, and it's about 50% Hispanic, about 26% white, 13% Asian, and about 7% Black. So they're looking at who has the power, and they're saying, geez, you add up everybody else in the city combined, and we have more people. And look how little power we have, how little money we have, how few assets we have. That's what pisses them off.
Right.
So they want to rework the redistricting lines to try to increase their power and their access to money and assets.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. One of the stories making news today is apparently a pro-Russia hacking group was going after airports today. Now, this is the LAX website itself, which I've never been to, the Los Angeles International Airport website. It was inaccessible for a period of time today. A group called KillNet, a hacking group, which is pro-Russian, listed 14 websites, including LAX and the airport in Atlanta, that it was targeting. They don't believe it had any effect. There were no disruptions to operations or airport systems. And, of course, they didn't hack the airline's websites, but they're hacking to LAX's website. But they're still concerned that if they are successful, it could affect operations. So they got to make sure that they're not able to do that. So the Russians are out there. That's just the story today. And they're trying to hack their way in. All right, let's go back to some of the audio of the L.A. City Council members, Nuri Martinez, Gil Cedillo, and Kevin DeLeon, along with the L.A. County Federation of Labor president. They're discussing redistricting at the County Labor Federation's offices. They got recorded. It's a year ago, but the audio has just appeared publicly, and we have some of it here. Let's move. Oh, it's another Mike Bonin discussion. We'll move on here to cut number 7, where they're discussing the fact that one of the Black councilmen, Marquise Harris Dawson, wants a better property in his district. You know, like they were fighting. It was a fighting with another councilman over USC and Exposition Park. And the talk here is about maybe getting the airport. I just mentioned LAX from Mike Bonin's district. Let's listen.
Getting back to Marquise, I told Danny, if you want to cut a deal and if you want to make like boss moves, I would go after the airport. He goes, I know that idea. I said, tell Marquise,
so go take it from his friend. Don't go after, leave him alone.
Yeah. Go get the airport from his little brother, that little bonnet.
I go, what is with Bonnet?
I said, Bonnet thinks he's black. That guy don't think he's black. I go, he thinks he's black. I call the same thing.
Bonin thinks he's bleeping black is what she's saying there. Of course, he adopted a young black child. So Nuri Martinez is obsessed with this angle. She doesn't like Bonin at all.
No, no.
She doesn't like the fact that he adopted a black child. She just thinks that's horrific.
She doesn't like black people?
He's trying to be a poser of some kind.
She doesn't like white people who adopt black children?
So she's saying, because she refers to him twice as his brother, Marquise Harris Dawson is black, and she's acting like Bonin's black, so he should just go to his brother and try to get LAX for his district or expand it. The redistrict boundaries would include LAX in his district. That's what she's mentioning there. So, and then Devin DeLeon kind of sticks in there, but his kid is.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. I've never seen. Why would they be fixated so much on the kid?
Racial purity, John. I think these particular politicians, especially Nuri Martinez, Latinos are only going to help Latinos. So we need to stick together.
So they're Hispanic.
So now Bonin adopts a black child. That's going outside the book there. That's not right. And he's doing it to try to look politically correct or look, you know, holier than thou. But I think it really offended her. I think it did. Then when the kid acts up on the parade float, she just lost it.
Yeah. Well, this is how Klan members think. Klan members think you shouldn't mix the races. Exactly. Klan members think that white people shouldn't be.
And there are a lot of people of all races who believe that.
Yeah.
You should not mix races.
It's very common. Everyone's...
In the end, though, it's not what people say. It's what they do. A lot of America does live in segregated neighborhoods. And a lot of people only marry within their race. Maybe that's changing, but that's, you know, it's been the history.
I don't care what people do, and I don't care about people's beliefs, but this crowd are a bunch of hypocritical progressives who are constantly lecturing everyone else about race and diversity.
Right, and acting like they're racial healers. Right.
And I always say that every group is full of racists. Every group is full of hatred. Everybody likes their own people, and many people don't like the other, whatever it is. And I'm just tired of hearing self-righteous, holier-than-thou politicians act like they are God's gift to diversity and that they have special moral powers and that they're unlike everyone else. You're not unlike everyone else. You're just faking it. This is what progressives sound like in their living rooms. This is what progressives sound like in meeting rooms. They're just like everyone else. But they try to cancel, they try to lecture, they scold, scream racism, because it's effective at getting power. And that's what I've seen over the years. It is very effective in making people cower so you can get power over them. But that's why they use these racism rants, is to get power over you, to make you feel intimidated and frightened that you're going to be drummed out of society and ostracized. But they act exactly the same way in private.
Last clip we're going to play tells you all you need to know about this meeting. Again, Ron Herrera is the president of the LA County Federation of Labor. 800,000 union members. This meeting was held at his office with these three Latino city council members. And in this clip, you can see what it's really all about in the power broker that he is.
You know, all this, my goal in life is to get the three of you elected, and you know, I'm just focused on that. I mean, we're like the little Latino caucus of our, you know, our own
city.
Yeah, and we have to find, you know, new folks to bring in. Blumenfield was in here the other day, right? He goes, well, we're trying to bring in another Latino. Yeah, why do we have to do that? I go, the way I see it, all of the seats are Latino.
What did he say?
He goes, oh, you had a point there. You know, what do we say? 52% of the population is Latino?
His mentors, you know, are the reason we're so f***ing gerrymandered in the Valley.
Right.
In Burbank.
They're referring to the Valley Councilman Bob Blumenfield, and I guess Herrera says he came in here and wanted to know what we could do, and the response from Herrera was, I basically think the whole LA City Council should be Latino representation, because we're 52% of the population. And
yeah, there you go.
But this is another angle to this, besides all the racism we've talked about, that the union power here,
mm-hmm.
with these three hacks in front of them, you know, we're going to be a Latino caucus, we're going to make this happen. I mean, because 800,000 voters,
right
in these unions, this is powerful.
They just need
union.
To redraw the districts to get more Hispanics in some of the districts to tip the balance and somehow get them motivated to vote, which seems to be very difficult.
Yeah. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Of course, when you have a million illegal immigrants, that's part of the problem.
Right. All right, we'll pass this along. We don't know where it's going to go, but it's probably worth mentioning. This is the people behind the attempted recall of George Gascon. Remember them?
Yes.
They put out a release today. Their initial review reveals substantial number of improperly invalidated signatures. And they are filing for what is called injunctive relief again. Is the headline. They say in their press release since September 6th, volunteer attorneys for the recall DA George Gascon committee have been conducting a review of what are supposed to be the invalidated signatures. Clear, obvious, and legitimate challenges have been identified for 39% of the invalidated signatures reviewed to date. What they're saying is here, they didn't look at all of the invalidated signatures, but they got some of them, and they're finding a big problem. And the one that stood out to me, some of them is about not matching, but remember what we found from the LA County Registrar of Voters in rejected signatures was that people were not registered. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they claim here, signatures incorrectly invalidated is not registered when in fact the person was a registered voter who could easily be identified in the voter database. I'm not saying this is going to lead somewhere. This is what they're putting out in their press release. And they're trying to find a way to get more of the signatures to review and maybe make a legal case. That's all I'm seeing here.
I met somebody a couple of weeks ago who was involved in the Mike Bonin recall. And yes. she had reviewed a lot of the signatures that were disallowed. And she said it was over the tiniest, most inconsequential violations. Like if the signature had strayed a little bit outside the box, that kind of thing.
But that's not the problem here. And we talked about this. Signature matching is what they tried to prepare us for, but what the registrar said, the bulk of the signatures they threw out just weren't even registered damn voters. Forget the signature. They don't exist as registered voters. That's pretty simple.
If they
find a lot of those was screwed up.
But what I'm saying is they've got a lot of tricks to deny these petitions
you
for
can't,
being approved.
Either a person is a registered voter or not.
Yeah, but you could just cheat. You could just...
You could sit there and say, well, subjectively speaking, I don't think that's his signature. We expected that.
But
try something so blatant as this person's not even a registered voter in L.A. County or in California.
But look how difficult it is to try to investigate it and how long it takes.
Well, that may be the problem. You're right.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
It's sort of like our arms are folded. We did it. We're done.
Right.
Go away.
You just do it. You just deny the petition. And it's like, yeah, you go prove otherwise. It's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to cost you a lot of time. You are going to get tired of fighting. You don't have the will to fight this. And we're going to make it as complicated as possible. You just do it and it works. You don't have to have any justification for it.
That could be the end game here. I'm not ruling that out.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how much money they have to keep pursuing this. You're right. Legally, it's going to be costly to continue to challenge this.
The whole system here in LA County, LA City is absolutely corrupt. You know, if I told you this was going on in Moscow in 1975, you wouldn't question it. That's what we have here. We have Moscow 1975. We have one-party rule. They're dictatorial. They're oppressive. And they are just going to lie, cheat, and steal. That you heard those city council people on the ballot, right? What is the redrawing of districting? That's corruption. That's corruption in order to rig elections to make sure that their tribe has more seats and the other tribe has less seats. That's not democracy. That's them carving up the spoils.
Yeah, and this is what people fail to realize all the time. We talk about this. These political parties are just about winning.
Right.
They could give a flying bleep about you or any of the problems. If you kept mentioning, they don't talk about homeless and crime. We just want to win. Because if we win, we get to bring our people in. We get to get public employee salaries. We get to build a base.
Right. And that
power.
That organization, that Ron Herrera, the head of the organization that was part of that meeting with
three council members.
Nuri Martinez. You said he represents 800,000 people. Those 800,000 don't give a rat's ass about all these problems because they're getting richly rewarded with tax money through their contracts. Richly rewarded pensions, health benefits, lifetime jobs they can't be fired from, and healthy salaries. So they don't care if the city goes to hell. They're not like regular people who are saying, hey, what the hell's going on? LA didn't used to be like this. It's like, LA's in the toilet, but look what I got here. Look at the prize I got through my union because of the people we vote for who are indebted to us.
Oh, you're right. The labor union is the most important thing. That's why they went to this guy's office to talk about redistricting, because he helps bring in the votes and they donate the money.
You think those three would sit in the office there if he wasn't the king and they had to kiss his ring?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So there you go. Ron Herrera, you know, he's the corrupt bastard that's running L.A. City.
Exactly.
The rest of them are just his puppets.
Puppets. All right, well, we'll wait and see tomorrow. That would be a raucous city council meeting if it gets pulled off. They're supposed to meet tomorrow.
It just doesn't seem like this one's going to get forgotten. Just seems like that there's a lot of anger. A lot of people are really... I mean, it's just funny. When you actually get the proof, the video or the audio, it shuts up a lot of people. It's like, no, really, they are racist. They are corrupt. They really are horrible people. Now you can't argue otherwise.
Yeah, except this time you're kind of asking, because this is all Democratic left progressives, to turn on each other, right?
Yeah, well.
That's what some of those El Segundo Times columnists are trying to do tonight. Let's not go there. Let's not do that.
No, let's go there.
We got to work for more power together. Yeah, let's go there.
Conway.
Hey now. Well, we're going to go over this Nuri Martinez stuff. Not a lot, because it's all been said all day long, right? But
You have your own perspective. You want to cover it.
I think my perspective is that, look, if these three people were working at a gas station in Victorville and you pass by the conversation, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's just three people having a conversation in Victorville, right? Or not. And I'm not talking about the people in Victorville, but it could be Tarzan, it could be Woodland Hills, it could be Colton,
right?
You just pass three people talking like that in a 7-Eleven, you wouldn't even blink an eye.
Yeah, because that's how a lot of people talk.
Right, but these are the people making decisions in powerful places. That's the rub.
And lecturing everybody else about racism and diversity.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. And every time, you know, we think, wow, this country's come a long way, this pops up.
We tell ourselves a lot of fantasies.
Right, but I think with the younger generation, look, those people are still old school. Even though they're a little younger than, you know, my grandparents who are, you know, would be in their 90s or 100s right now, that generation is losing a little. But I think my kids and your kids, or my kid and your kids, I don't think they'll ever talk like that, right? I think that that would be so ostracizing to talk like that, that they would be so ashamed of themselves. They wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
But that generation, right below us, there's still a little few folks wandering around, you know? So,
and they're all in the city council.
Yeah, that's right. That's odd that they're all in the city council. And anyway, we'll discuss that as much as it needs to be discussed. And then iPhone number 14. Yeah, look at that. Calling 911 on a roller coaster. That's pretty good. And then also the NFL is not on tonight. That game got rained out, but it was supposed to be a pretty good game tonight on the NFL.
Chiefs and the Raiders.
Yeah, what do you mean? The Raiders game got rained out.
Oh, I was going to go watch that. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
It's rained out. Yeah.
Yeah, weird. Football rained out.
I think it was in Kansas City. Complete storm.
Oh, by the way, I was at the Rams game yesterday and they booed Kim Kardashian on the big screen.
I saw that. Yeah. That's wild, man. There's still hope, huh?
There's still hope. And I helped.
But she had those big, crazy, I think they were booing her glasses. You know, those big-ass sunglasses?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a Miata.
Well, they put her name up there in the whole crowd.
They were booing the offensive line.
That's not her crowd.
I know. But the Rams, did you sit through the whole game, Ken?
I left with 3 minutes to go. It was pathetic.
It was horrible.
You heard Eric mumble about the offensive line. That is the problem.
But it's like the old Rams when they first came here from St. Louis.
You're right. They had no offense at the beginning with Jeff Fisher as coach. They were terrible.
It was the worst. Yeah.
And they drafted Jared Goff, and it got a little better, and now we have Stafford.
Look, what a great game yesterday, guys.
They won. Shut up.
Shut up,
Crozer.
He's a Cowboy person.
He's a huge Cowboys fan. It's going to be a long night here. But... they won a Super Bowl, so they all signed these fat contracts, and now they're not hungry.
Well, yeah.
That's part of it. You're right. Right.
You don't see anybody win two championships in a row.
That's right.
Very much.
Nobody
wants to see them go like 5-12.
Right, that's true. That's definitely true.
Come on, give us a little hope.
I mean, the last time I think a team almost won two was the Seahawks, you know, with Lynch.
The play at the goal line.
Right.
Handoff instead of pass. Poor Russell Wilson.
Right. And who was the running back, Eric, in that play?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Conway,
Ding Dong.
Up next.
Couple sports stories.
Yeah, not bad. No game tonight. Sorry to hear.
Yeah, it's over.
KFI, KSD, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.